We're going to delve into some unfamiliar territory. A couple of weeks ago, we had Tim Dean from the School of Life and a PhD in philosophy. He came in and we talked a bit about the meaning of life and all these kind of things. And it got us thinking, well, look, there's all these sort of moral dilemmas that you come up with in life. And have you ever sort of had like an ethical dilemma and you sort of thought, you know, how would an actual person trained in philosophy approach this? Because obviously, you know, the real life and like the teachings of philosophy, sometimes I don't necessarily match. It's going to be, look, I don't know what to expect, but we've got Tim Dean back with us on the line. Hey, Tim, you ready to field some ethical dilemmas?
Yeah, sure. Let's get our hands dirty, bro.
So apparently this week, some of the producers have come up with some moral dilemmas. Apparently this week sort of surrounding the topic of, I guess, millennial life or being a millennial. And I know one of the things that happens when you're young and or when you're a millennial, right, is you sort of finding yourself strapped for cash every now and then. And I know something that can happen is you walk down the street and you find a wallet and it's got, like, let's say $200 cash, right? Amazing. What? Oh, that's like a rent for a week for some people. You sort of believe in ethics and all that, but you're also thinking, man, I am definitely struggling to pay my rent this week. What do you do in a situation like that? What's the ethical thing to do, do you think? Is it finders keepers? Is that, like, a solid enough argument?
look, it is an argument of a sort, but it's one that I think most of us would know that that's not the ethical thing to do. And I mean, I suppose that raises an interesting thing is, right, we have different reasons for doing things, right? We come up to these situations, we say, I can do this, that, or that. Why would I choose one over another? We have reasons. Some of those reasons are kind of just like prudential. Like, if I want to get this done more effectively, I can, you know, find the most efficient way to do it. But then there's this other layer, which is the ethical layer, which is, you know, how do I want to behave and how do I want other people to behave and what do I think is right? And this is where some kinds of moral dilemmas actually just a tension between the prudence, the expediency of like having another $200 in your pocket, which is, you know, pretty expedient, compared to the ethical thing. And so on the ethical side, it's pretty clear cut in that, like, let's say someone, let's go into like some philosophy here. Let's say someone like Immanuel Kant, the German philosopher, he would have said it is always wrong to take the money because every time you act in this way, you should generalize your action and say, this is the way I would like everyone to behave in a similar situation. So if it's right for you to take that money in that instance, then it would be right if you dropped your wallet with $200 in it, which might have been really important for you. It would be right for someone else to take that money. And if you're not happy with that, right, he says the ethical thing is what you would generalize for everyone to behave in that way. Or let's take another philosopher. Now, this is someone who comes from a philosophical school completely different from Immanuel Kant. This is David Hume. He thinks that our sentiments, our feelings of like sympathy and empathy for others should be guiding our moral actions. And so you kind of think, well, how would I feel? How would I feel if someone took my wallet that I dropped and that I needed? And let me empathize with that person whose wallet I'm picking up and taking. And if you think you're going to feel pretty bad, then, you know, that's a pretty good reason not to pick it up. So that's the ethical side. But as I said, like a lot of these things, there's a tension. There's a tension between what's kind of in my interest or what's the most efficient way to do something and what's the ethical thing to do. In this case, the ethics, though, I think it's pretty clear.
By the way, if anyone has any thoughts about these, if you disagree, if you agree, if you want to contribute, 951-495-00. Hit us up. We want to hear what you think about these things because everyone's obviously got a different perspective on it. But let's throw you another one, Tim. Look, you know, Tinder, it's a great resource for those that need it. But what if you're on Tinder and you find your best friend's hot new partner? Maybe they've only been dating for, let's say, a couple months. What do you do? Like, do you, like, let's say even, let's add another layer to this. Yeah. You swipe right just out of curiosity and then suddenly it's a match. Do you tell your friend or is it like, hey, this is just none of my business. I can't. And then as well, they're going to be like, well, why did you swipe right? I mean, it's a tough one. What do you think?
Yeah. Now, this is definitely a tough one. And it's a bit different to the last example of picking up a wallet with money. Because in this case, it's not a matter of what's in my interest versus what's ethical. You now have two different ethical things in tension with each other, right? So on the one hand, you have evidence that someone's maybe cheating on their partner, and they're doing something, you know, unethical, and they're harming their partner by doing that. And so you might feel you have an ethical obligation to step in there and to let them know so that they can, you know, figure this thing out for themselves rather than potentially get even more hurt down the line by someone cheating. But we also tend to feel that we have like an ethical obligation to our friends not to cause them distress.
Yeah,
you know, not
that's
to cause
the thing.
Them harm. And we might think that by telling our friend that their partner is on Tinder, we might be, you know, causing them a lot of distress. We might be causing their relationship to break up. I mean, maybe their partner's on Tinder by their agreement, or maybe their partner's on Tinder just because they're curious, but they haven't actually cheated on anybody. And so you could actually be stepping in, not knowing the full circumstances, and end up making things worse. So you can, there's a tension between these two things. You know, do we be honest about something? And if being honest, you know, causes harm, should we be trying to avoid causing harm? These ones are tricky because I don't think there's a right answer, in the sense that there's always going to be a rule that we can apply where we can always say, we definitely do this. I think in these situations, most of the time, you want to default to honesty, even if it's uncomfortable. You want to default to being honest with people. Because again, like, let's take what Immanuel Kant was saying before, to say, how would I feel? How would you feel if your partner was on Tinder and one of your friends found out and didn't tell you, right? So you might think, I wouldn't want to be in that kind of situation. I think if I wanted to generalize to everyone's behavior in this situation, and I had to choose, I think honesty is what I would want. And so that's what I'm going to give to other people. Now, I mean, there are going to be a lot of different approaches and a lot of disagreements. And I think it is one of those kind of dirty hands problems where no matter what you do, you're going to cause a bit of suffering for somebody, you know, and we don't like doing that.
Yeah, well, you know, this one, I'm thinking this one might be a bit harder that we've cooked up, because, you know, I feel like with what you're saying, maybe that you could come into a situation where I do something and I'm thinking, you know, I've thought about how I would feel if that happened to me, and I think I assess this situation. Let's say I'll give you the example, and I'll explain. So we got, let's say you're house sitting for your grandma, right, and you're. You know, maybe you're using Tinder, maybe you're out in the town and you have a great date and you have a few drinks and you're like, hey, did you want to come back to, I've got the house to myself, did you want to come back? And then you sort of find yourself in the bedroom. What if it, could this be a situation where, let's say, I want to ask you whether it's okay to use the bed for, you know, that kind of thing. Because
for conjugal purposes.
Yeah, because what if, like, what if that person who's at house sitting for the grandma thinks, oh, well, I wouldn't care if someone did that, because I just wouldn't see it. Like, they might think it's totally fine, whereas the grandma might be, in reality, quite horrified. It's one of those ones I feel it could go either way, but is there anything that the world of philosophy or ethics can tell us about a situation like this?
Yeah, right. No, look, this is a very common example that's used in philosophy all the time, the grandmother scenario. Actually, I don't think that's true, but I think it should be.
Yeah,
and it's an interesting one. So now this is where we get into the honesty stuff. And honesty is a vexed issue. Philosophers have been debating honesty for at least 2,500 years. You know, like, so should you be honest to somebody when you think that being honest to them is going to harm them? And there are some different ways to think about this. Now, this situation, I think, is interesting, because one way to look at honesty is, I have some information which somebody else kind of has a right to know or should know, you know, that's going to help them do the things that they want to do, all that kind of stuff. In those kinds of situations, usually honesty is going to be the right thing to do. You don't want to lie. You don't want to withhold information that's important to somebody. But there's another kind of type of information which is not necessarily like really important to somebody to know, but they might find it distressing, or they might find it offensive, or they might get upset about it, even though it's kind of not really that substantial. So someone, you know, sleeping in your bed and getting up to some shenanigans might be a little, you know, gross and unsettling, but you're not actually breaking any moral rules per se. You're not harming anybody by that. We're presuming that, you know, you're doing the linen afterwards. You know, you're not really harming anyone by that, But by being honest in this situation, you might actually be adding more harm to the world in a way than withdrawing it. So there's a difference with the kind of information that we're talking about here. So somebody cheating on their partner, that's the kind of information that person would benefit from knowing. Whether somebody has, you know, done something unsavory, but then, you know, cleaned it up in a way that you would never know and it is not going to affect your life, that's not as kind of grave, that information. And so maybe you can justify withholding that information a little bit. Now, I mean, this is not me recommending any particular courses of action here. This is my philosopher asterisk saying, this is all just philosophical, you know, for educational purposes only. People can make up their own mind.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the thing. Yeah, I wouldn't be going out and testing any of these if you can avoid doing it. I'll give you one more, and we might keep this one super, super brief. You know, being in the workplace, sometimes it gets a little bit frustrating, right? And what if you've got, is it ever okay to, like, get revenge on a coworker who might be really riding you hard and just really making your life a misery, and then you find a situation where they've screwed up really badly and you're the only one who knows, and they kind of in your eyes deserve it, and you can go up to the boss and say, you know what, Jeff from accounts has done this bad thing and I think you need to know? Because I guess, like, you know, on one point you've got, well, the boss would want to know if someone screws up, but then on the other hand you're sort of making Jeff's life a living hell, even though he's made yours a living hell. Is there ever a situation where that's okay and probably, you know, the briefest terms possible? How do you reckon?
Look, briefest terms possible, revenge bad. Revenge is almost never the right thing to do, which is kind of funny because in our culture, we love revenge. Like, I mean, films are all about revenge. It's one of the easiest motivations that you can put in for a villain or even for a hero, right? Revenge. It's almost always a bad idea. In this situation, if your colleague has done something wrong and you tell your boss, that's different, right? That's not revenge. It might also be revenge, but you're also doing the right thing by your boss. But if you're just being spiteful, and if you're just acting out of malice, even if you feel wronged, it's almost going to always make the world a worse place rather than a better place. There's usually a better way to deal with it.
Yeah, so the lesson for today, just think about your impact on the world and whether you would want someone to do that to you, I guess.
Absolutely. Think about the reciprocity. The golden rule, right? The golden rule appears in just about every moral system in the world.
Man, oh man. Well, I'm excited to delve into a few more of these. Maybe next week, Tim, if you're down. If you're just joining us, Tim Dean from the School of Life Australia, giving you some things to think about as well. If you do find yourself wanting to maybe get stuck into this kind of stuff, the School of Life, they've just announced their Term 3 dates for our classes, workshops, etc., etc. And also, we want to know, I'm going to play a few songs, but if you have any thoughts on any of these, any of your own advice, 9514 9500. But hey, Tim, thanks so much for running us through some of those. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks a lot, Bryce.